Josiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Josiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Josiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the foothills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 6, 2015. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear that sound of the shofar. Hear the warning. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, folks, there's also another way that you can get prayer requests answered. You can send me a letter in the mail. I'll take it to church with me or to service on Friday night, and we will anoint it with oil. We'll pray on it, and if you want it, we will send it back after it's been anointed and prayed on. Or you can send me an email with your address on it and prayer request and a phone number if you want to follow up. But we'll take that one also to church and pray on it and anoint it with oil and pray on it. And if you put your address on it, if you want it back, we will send it back to you after it's been anointed and prayed on. So there are two other ways, and don't worry about a stamp. I can pay for the stamp, I'm sure. Anyway, and the envelope, so that's free to you. Anyway, you can always find updates with breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. And at prophecyhour.com, you can find my email address, okay? And remember, we are a national satellite radio program, and we are simulcast live on the net, so we are international, too. So please pray about supporting airtime. Airtime is not free. This is not just a podcast. We are a real live radio program. Anyway, our archives can be found at prophecyhour.com and branch.podomatic.com. Both are smartphone friendly. In fact, at branch.podomatic.com, they have an Apple app and an Android app. So, you know, download them and listen up. But you don't really need to download the apps to hear our programs. You can just click play when you go over there, and they're both sites are real smartphone friendly. And at prophecyhour.com, there's a link on the right that says End Time Radio Archives. You click that will take you to all of our radio archives. And also at messiahsbranch.com, you can also find all of our radio programs. Now, a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine, nor our guest will, Father, but your will. Please give everyone out there ears and wish to hear the truth, and I pray this program will glorify you, Father, and not the world. In your Son's mighty name, Yeshua HaMashiach, amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is the author of Understanding Gender Confusion, and her name is Denise Schick. She is the director of Help for Families, an outreach that brings an understanding of the emotional pain and spiritual confusion that people face when a loved one has a gender identity confusion. She is the author of My Daddy's Secret and leads a church-based support group for people with sexual addiction, and was the administrator of family-related issues with TGIF, that's Transgender International Fellowship. Denise has worked in crisis pregnancy counseling, a substance abuse clinic, and started an absentee program. Denise and her husband, Mark, have four children. with gay marriage now legal, we are seeing so many other abnormal things being put forward as abnormal, such as transvestites and all kinds of other things. People saying it's okay to be whatever gender you want to be, basically do as you will. Do as you will. And we know that do as you will is a call from the devil. Are there anyone or any groups out there speaking up tonight? Well, I think with this guest, we'll see. Welcome, Denise. Are you there with me?
I am. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come on with you.
Well, amen. They did send me your book, and I really haven't had a chance to read it yet, but they sent me some questions. But I prefer just to, you know, sit back and we'll have a good conversation. So what did I not catch in your introduction? Tell us a little something about you that'll start there.
Well, I come from this issue from a personal experience. When I was 9 years old, my father had told me of his desire to become a woman. And so I had obviously, you know, lived with the emotional turmoil that goes through the family members. Also understanding that our loved one is really distressed about their biological gender, the confusion and the pain that they live in as well.
Okay, well, what do you mean by gender confusion? What are we talking about here?
We aren't talking about today, which is the most common way to say this, is for perhaps a man to say that he feels like he, you know, is a man that is trapped in a man's body instead of having a woman's body, that his brain is not matching what is telling him physiologically, of what God has created him to be. So the person is generally in a severe distress about their biological gender. They are very uncomfortable in their own skin, if we can use that phrase. But to be honest, you know, so much of this starts when they're children. And we all know that that is the ideal time for the enemy to start to come in and whisper lies about who they are and who they are as a creation of God. Now, sometimes this happens through emotional turmoil experiences that they have that are transferred over into their belief system, a false belief system of who they are.
Right, absolutely. False belief system. So, you know, number one, we'll say right off, and I'm sure you agree with this, when the Father creates this, I don't believe that he makes mistakes. In other words, puts a woman in a man's body or vice versa. I don't believe that's possible. As pastor for many years, I see that most problems that people have, whether it's gender identity or relationship problem, usually does start at a very early age. Do you agree or disagree?
I do agree. I agree very much that it starts from a very early age, and it's just a time where the enemy is able to come in and deceive, to use any hurt or rejections, experiences, negative experiences that a person has had to use it for his own agenda.
Right, absolutely. I'm getting from you. So now you actually deal with people that have as you call them, gender confusion or whatever. You deal with these people. You have a support group. What's the story there?
Yes, we have our ministry reaches out to the family members that are going through this, and as well to offer a support system for the individual that is coming at this from the perspective that God does not make mistakes, and they understand that they have a manifestation of issues that has brought this out to this belief system that they're being deceived to believing. So we come alongside of the individuals as well, and really just is a common good, a family of God, you know, coming alongside
right.
And supporting one another biblically and open-hand approach for their restoration and however the Lord will use us in that manner.
Amen. I praise the work that you're doing because, you know, so many, you know, this is, it's on such an increase. You know what I'm saying? Since we've seen gay marriage come out, then we're seeing, you know, use whatever bathroom you want because, you know, you get to pick whatever gender. Why do you think we're seeing all these things right now?
You know, I think that we are seeing this because of the media, because of the culture. You can't even go past the grocery store aisle through the magazines without seeing some headlines of something of, you know, Bruce Jenner or this topic in general. You've got the media in our TV outlets. It's all around. It's in the schools because of the agenda that's behind this and special interest groups of how they've gotten into the schools and the colleges. Our children are surrounded with this issue. So the most important thing as parents and as a culture that we need to recognize as church and caring and loving family members is to realize that our children are not protected from this issue. It's surrounding them. And so it's so important for folks to take note of what's going on in their schools, what's going on in the culture, and how's that impacting and shaping their child.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, a lot of people, and I'm, you may agree or disagree, but I know a lot of people will go, well, you know, I've never seen it on TV yet, so I don't believe that. Or, you know, they get their values from the TV set, and which is basically left and basically anti-Christian or anti-God, so to speak. And it's in such a dramatic increase with all those outside influences saying, you know, and trying to, they do a real good job of trying to say, well, this is the norm. When in reality, there are very few homosexuals or bisexuals and those sort of things in the country, with the statistics being that most people are basically straight. But with all that overwhelming evidence, or people, you know, the mainstream saying that, doesn't that make it so much harder to communicate with these people?
It does. You know, and the thing with how they represent their messages, if people would investigate a little bit further on the truths and the scientific proof behind things. For instance, we hear about the suicide rate, and it's very high. There's a 41% that attempts suicide. And 31% of these folks with gender confusion are successful at that. When we hear the culture's message, they will say that there is this many suicides because their family members have not accepted them or that they've had issues in their employment, etc. But the truth of the matter is they will also say that it's because we have not accepted or they had not had sex reassignment surgery. But within that 41% of those that attempt suicide, it is as well with a mixture of those that have had sex reassignment surgery and have discovered that it hasn't taken care of the underlying issues of the heart.
Right, right. So how did you get involved in this? Seriously, I mean, and that's what I said at the first of the program. We don't. Well, we have a lot of people that are standing and saying, well, this is wrong. We're not seeing anybody. I'm not seeing a lot of people, you know, actually getting into the ministry of it and doing the work of it. I mean, it's a real blessing. How did you get into this?
Well, I actually had told God no for a couple of years when he was calling me into this. And basically
listen,
said, no, thank you. Yeah, no, he did not. I said, no, thank you. You know, been there, done that. You go find somebody else. And that's really how I had felt, because it is such a painful thing that happens in your personal heart and soul. And then to speak out publicly on this, especially at a time in the culture when you are not accepted, always lovingly, and you have to take your family into consideration and different things of that nature. But the Lord obviously did not take no for an answer to go find somebody else. And I happened to call Focus on the Family one day, and they put me in touch with a man that was in this type of ministry, and I was very blessed and honored to work under him for 6 years. And the Lord just opened up one door after another. The funny thing is, that I will use as humor here, is I don't even like to read books. And so another thing the Lord has me doing is writing books. So I don't I've given up saying to the Lord the things that I don't like to do because I'm afraid if I voice it, they're going to be the things that he's going to set before me. So there's been several things, you know, like that. Yeah. So I just think what a sense of humor God has.
Yeah, absolutely. I really think that's funny because, you know, my wife and I feel the same way, and the people of Messiah's Branch, you know, will start to say, well, I don't want it. I say, hush your mouth. You know, don't say that. Don't say it. Don't say it. You know, because that's what he'll have you do, you know. Amen. Yeah, amen. That's so funny.
Yeah.
That sounds so like us. But you know what that shows in our life? That shows that we really know that he's real. Amen.
Yeah, yeah, and it was really through my prayer time and seeking the Lord, finally telling him, because of the pressure that I felt on my heart, my soul, it was just felt like a boulder on my chest. I mean, it was so heavy, and I finally had broke down and said to the Lord, if you want me to do something, you've got to open up a door because I don't know where to go. I mean, I came from a very small country town. That,
yeah.
You know, us country folks, when you don't know people or you can't push doors open that God doesn't open. And so it was just through, I think, believing really that I just had come to obedience and accepting the direction, the path that he was asking me to walk.
Yeah, amen. As far as being country, you know, my wife and I came from our mission church to the homeless and poor and those that need us is in Wichita, Kansas, where we lived most of our life. But then when we got saved, we moved, you know, 60 miles away. And we live in a town of less than 500 houses. And so all of my children have been, you know, I've grown up in the country, but they've all grown up for the last 16 years going to Wichita and serving the people. I want to mention the name of your book right now because I think this is really important for people to get. Folks, her book is Understanding Gender Confusion, A Faith-Based Perspective. I'll ask her just before break how to get it or where to find her website. Now, anyway, there seems to be an onrush. Now, why do you think beyond just this gender thing, I mean, you know, it looks like almost with sexual things to the general public, everything's okay. You think there's a reason why we're seeing that right now? You said the media, but what's fueling the media?
Yeah, you know, exactly. And we look at the politicians, we look at the political statements that are being made. Where we've moved to a Supreme Court that has approved gay marriage and embraced that, and therefore, you know, expecting the whole country to embrace something that God has ordained to be holy between a man and a woman. There is so much that has happened within the transgender issue within the last 2 years of us seeing such a progressive movement. I've never known a progressive movement like this, and in such a short time to create the differences that they have. They proclaimed, the transgender folks had proclaimed that this would be their year, and indeed they are fulfilling that as far as the year of making and creating an alliance for themselves, for their belief system of being born in the wrong body and becoming and creating the new norm, as we hear. And that's something that Bruce Jenner had commented on, is I am the new norm.
New normal, you know. The only way that I can see this new normal being the new normal is, you know, I have to look to my Bible. You know, I think that I think what we're seeing is not reversible. I don't think that we can put any of this back in the box. Do you?
No, I don't. It's funny, there were six of us that were involved in the amicus briefs against the gay marriage, and the one daughter of a gay couple keeps saying to me, Denise, do you think we'll see this turn back? Do you think we can see this turn back? And I don't. I just think that the fallen world continues to live in the fallen world of the realm of what it is. And I do believe that one day we will see judgment for what we are approving and taking the truth and twisting them, taking God's word as no longer being holy and worth standing on. we've become weak in our country, sadly, to stand up for the biblical principles that we were really founded on.
Amen. And that's right. You know, we talk about biblical principles. You know, this, it seems like that, you know, well, I do know this, you know, I've seen some studies where, like, you know, only less than 10% of the people in the United States have even read the New Testament. And so, you know, we're getting generations of people that are not even putting the word into us. And then for some reason, it seems to me that the mainstream church, as lack of call it something better, is just not speaking up. Why do you think they're not speaking up?
I think some of that is because of a fear of saying the wrong thing, or if they teach the scriptures for what they are, even on homosexuality, that the fear of people leaving the church and what that could mean for them to survive financially. Other times I think the fear of not wanting to upset their people. But I've heard this, so I know this is coming even from parents. You know, they don't want to go into church and have a preacher that is talking about the godly principle of sex and making their child feel any less than. But it's the Word of God where lives are changed. And it is through the truth that strengthens our lives and our faith and who we are in Him.
Yeah, amen. Somewhere along the line, the church decided not to preach the truth out of fear of being politically correct or whatever. But, you know, that there's supposed to be more of us in this country than there are of them, so to speak, you know, meaning the ungodly. But, you know, they just won't speak up. We got about a minute before break. Where can they find you? I know you have a website. You want to tell them where your website is and how they can get the book, and you know, and if they have a problem, can they reach you or what?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they can reach me, and our website is www.helpforfamilies.com, and that's with the number 4, helpforfamilies.com, and the book is available through Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon. Everything's available through Amazon, just about.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, amen. Good old Amazon. You know, well, I'm on Amazon. You know, it didn't used to be that way. I've been doing radio since 2001, and it didn't used to be everything was on Amazon. And so, but that's, you know, everybody would say, oh, that's on it. Anyway, we'll be back, folks. I'll quit rambling. We'll be back in 3 minutes with more Denise Schick and more about her book. We'll be back.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Closed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Why do so many people come for us for help? Well, love, that's the first answer. They're treated as family. We give them a relationship. Second, beyond that, we don't have any set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need. We don't get a questionnaire. They don't get something to fill out. They come over, they find us, they ask us, and we pray about it. If we have a way to immediately fill their need, we do. And if we don't, we try and pray it in for them. We've seen so many miracles there, whether it's a miracle of somebody getting out of the street, somebody getting a house, or healings. We see lots of miracle healings. We've seen so many different things. There's so many different blessings that come through there. We give out Bibles. We do first aid. We do all of these different things. You see, because we have no set guidelines or programs. People just walk in the door and ask. Anyway, this is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We know, folks, we are responsible, the very last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com, or you can call me at 620-878-4682. And now we're talking about a really important subject, and it's Understanding Gender Confusion. That's the name of the book, and we're talking with Denise Schick. Are you there with me, Denise? You still there?
I am.
Well, praise the Father.
Yes.
I was looking over these questions you sent me, and I do want to ask you a couple of them. But, again, I just really feel blessed by your ministry, and I'm going to make sure I take you to our prayer circle tomorrow night at the Mission Church because, as I told our producer, you know, it's almost like you're jumping out in front of a freight train with the way things that are going right now. And so it must be a real unction from the Father to do that. So thank you for your work.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Amen. Anyway, why do you think these are happening? You think it's because of the breakdown in the family that so many young men are fleeing their masculinity? You said that. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, you know, there are so many different reasons for this. However, within the 11 years of this ministry and speaking with folks and learning about their background and their emotional situations, what they've been through, I do believe that the divorce is one thing that has wounded children differently, and that's not coming against or, you know, my aim is not to come against an individual or people that have been divorced, but just speaking from the childhood wounds. When a child has seen a father that has been abusive, whether emotionally, physically, in those ways, especially with the children, that can be very detrimental. With a son, the thought of, I don't want to be like him, can enter into the heart, and almost a personal vow that he makes to distance himself from being a man. Being a man means being like my father, who is emotionally abusive or possibly emotionally detached from the son, where he's hungering that. So that's one cause with the sons, but as well as with the daughters, because when they have seen this type of abuse and their mother appears to be weak to them, they make a personal vow that they don't want to be like their mom. They don't want to be weak. They want to have control over their life and control over how they are treated. So they end up, in a sense, running from their femininity, looking for a more secure place to land.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other underlining issues. You know, sometimes it is sexual abuse. With my father, there was sexual abuse. My grandmother was an alcoholic, and his father was very busy creating and starting his own business. So it was almost like the perfect tornado, you know, to take him up in this and to cause him to feel like the lost little boy that the neighbors knew, and actually that's how they described him. So there's so many different situations. Each one's different and unique, and of course their personality, temperament, and how that comes into the mix. If you have a sensitive child, a sensitive son, and is in this type of a situation or just feels detached from his father, there's going to be that disconnect from the masculine world.
Right. And I believe there's so much in the world right now that is already trying to make men not act as men. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. And to make them feel less than for leading a home, you know, the disrespect that as far as the feminist, the women, of today's culture and past, nobody wants a man to lead when that is what God and how God has created him to be, as the leader in the home, to in a sense as a wife to embrace that and enjoy that. But we're not taught that today in today's culture. And it's very sad because we have demasculinized men for so long that I can see where they're confused, like, what does being a man, what is that all about?
Right, absolutely. A man should be a man. You know, I grew up, I'm 60 years old, but, you know, when I grew up, the media did have positive role models, you know what I mean? Like, I grew up with the Cowboys, like, not only John Wayne, but the Lone Ranger and everybody. And, you know, they were courteous to women, you know what I'm saying? They were always there to defend the defenseless and to defend women. And, you know, it was a good breakup. I don't know at what point all that changed. I just seemed like I woke up in a different world one day. But I grew up believing that a man should be like a hero, you know what I mean? And you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I remember when men used to open up the door for women as they entered the store. You know, simple things like that. And today you don't see that. I mean, oh, my goodness, it has been so long since that you see things like that out of common courtesy. What a world that it has changed and how fast it's changed. And I think that is an important note that we need to take as we look at where we are in this world and the time, you know, that perhaps that we have left and don't have left.
Well, amen. So, we don't, but us as believers and people that know right, shouldn't, you know, I still open the doors for people when, you know, or at, like Sam's the other day, I gave a woman, you know, a basket, you know, everybody was rushing in. So I gave the woman the basket that I had, you know what I mean? But I ended up giving out a whole roll of I couldn't get loose. I gave out all the baskets, you know what I'm saying? And then I had to wait for one. It was funny, but that's what I was brought up, believing that I was supposed to be, you know, humble. I was supposed to help. That's what we were supposed to do. So what I'm trying to say is, though, in this crazy mixed-up world, we shouldn't go along with it. Shouldn't we still do these things and try to stand out?
No, we shouldn't go along with it, because then there's no difference between us and the world. You know, there's supposed to be a difference between Christ followers and the world.
Right.
We are right. To be a witness to others as well in our actions, our words, and how we live our lives. And if we're living as the culture is, if we are embracing and accepting the world's ways, then we are no different. We right. are standing by our moral obligations to God.
Yeah, amen. So, you know, let's go with this. What happens if one day somebody wakes up and realizes their child, whether it's a male or a female, is having this problem? What should our first reaction be? What should we do?
You know, the first reaction should be, if this is a child, a minor, for either way, just for the loved one not to feel like there's something wrong with them, like a panic mode. It's really understanding the courage, whether a child or adult, that this is taken to be able to share of their struggle with a minor. It's really a good thought to seek out a counselor that has the same ethics, same belief system that you do. I say to be very cautious in the interview. You know, 70% of children that have gender dysphoria actually outgrow it. But that's another message that we don't hear in the world. We just hear that if they're gender dysphoric, then therefore we have to give them hormone blockers and allow them to proceed in this opposite gender. Identification. When there's 70% of them that will outgrow this. So with children, you know, many times it just is going to take parenting tools, relationship tools, spending time with that child. It's such a positive. The earlier, the younger the child is that comes forth, the better the chances are of the relationships having some healing and for that individual to grow up to feel confident in their born gender. So that's so important that we continue to love them. We don't treat them any differently. We walk alongside of them as family members and offer, you know, a godly support. Mentorship is so important. With the adult men, you wouldn't believe how many that I hear from that are 65 years old and they still just hunger for a hug from their physical father here on earth. And many of them will never have that because their father's passed away. So it's really understanding what they're going through and how to come alongside of this type of emotional brokenness, this detachment that they have, and the importance of mentorship, of friendship, and of walking alongside of them biblically. And the Lord is our healer, and the Lord is the one that will meet them in the midst of this. We're not going to be their healer. And that's not our job. It's God's job. And he's going to do it far better than what any of us could. So that's where we just cry out to the churches. Please understand, you know, these folks are struggling. There are some that really struggle, that really do not want to take the culture's method as a fix. They are trying to work through this godliness. And that is the desire of their hearts. And we need to be there for them, to support them and to embrace them and help them to embrace their identity and who they are in Christ.
Yeah, amen. When it comes to children, I believe that we are responsible to. A lot of people say, "Well, I'll let my child." Yeah, I hear this a lot nowadays. I'm not forcing them to go to church or do this or that. I allow them to make their own decision what they want to be when they turn 18 or move out of the house. Well, it is our responsibility to teach them about God the Father and His Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. That did save us. It is our responsibility. And the more that we can bring them up in His love, then the less that we're going to see of this. Second thing I wanted to say is, you know, I remember growing up, I knew lots of girls, and I mean it not in a, you know, as a girlfriend sense, but, you know, that were friends, that were tomboys. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. you know, that didn't turn out to be, you know, gay people, or didn't turn out to, later on when they got to adulthood, cutting their hair off and becoming a man. Is it our culture that's doing that, that's telling those girls, well, now you need to be a man, yeah. do you think?
Yeah, I believe it is. First of all, I believe that it is the parent's responsibility to raise that child up in the Lord. And it is also our responsibility as parents not to give our children everything that is not good for them, to be able to hand it over with a dish and say, you want this, okay. You know, and what are we teaching them about what God says and the boundaries and right and wrong? We've got to be there as an influence, a very important influence in our children's lives. The choice of that is theirs when they leave the home or when they become of adult age. But we are called by God. He has entrusted those children into our hands. So that comes with a great responsibility. As far as the tomboys, I think back to when I speak with ministers different occasions. I said, you know, I was one of those tomboys. I mm-hmm. like to play with trucks in the sand, and I like to climb trees. And my one friend that I grew up with, her and I would go through the woods and, you know, sticks and climb the tree here and all kinds of whatever we could do. So much of it would have been considered a boy type of activity. Right. Now, if I was that child today, especially with my father's influence and knowing he struggled with, and I'm doing all these things, and I go to my school counselor and I say, I'm really struggling, you know, with who I am, this is what's going on, I believe the chances would be better that I would end up either in a homosexual or transgender thought process,
right.
because I was already second guessing who I was. I had taken the imagination, which we all know is very powerful, to what I would look like as a man, and then what I would act like, and what that meant for a relationship, what that meant for a life. And so my mind was playing these games. So to be a child today, in this where I would be getting the affirmation of it in school with the school teachers, the affirmation of the school counselors, within my peers, I don't know what kind of mess I could have been.
Right, right, absolutely. And so that's what I mean. You know, we're fighting against so many things. You have the you know, it's not as hard with the schools like out here where I'm at, you know, out here in the country, but you just go 60 miles away, the schools that are, you know, in larger cities, I guess that's where the problem is, and closer to the east or west coast, you know, you have these problems. But, you know, it's there, and it's coming into to the schools. So people, if they send their children to a school and they're not homeschooling, then I strongly suggest, don't you, that they get involved and really know what's going on in their school?
Yes, yeah. You know, find out what kind of books the children or even your teens are having to read or have read to them, even the high school. You don't realize until you get into that school to check it out and to see. Pay attention to what is going on in the school, because if you in fact disagree with homosexuality or transgender issues, you know, whether you disagree or not, if you don't find out what's going on in that school, you're teaching them one thing at home, but the school has a different agenda. And
right.
we are teaching them something that is opposite of what is really best for them in their lives.
Right, absolutely. My son, for instance, I have them, you know, I didn't know what they were going to be teaching in history. I do check on all their curriculum, but I had a social studies book that the teacher, you know, I go, you know, along with them chapter by chapter at home. And if I seen something I disagree with, you know, I would simply tell them and they would either admit my, not have my child do it. Or, you know, give a better explanation, you know what I'm saying? But that comes from hands-on involvement and having a good teacher, you know. But you won't find that same cooperation with, like I say, in bigger cities and in every school, right?
Right, and that was the trick words that you used, hands-on. You know, as parents, to be a hands-on parent, to take the time, we've become a very busy society. And families are very busy. They're taking their child to this activity, to this sport, coming home late from work, you know, all of that mixture that for them to even be able to sit down and have a family dinner is very rare in a lot of families. So in that busyness, we are losing that hands-on. We are losing our teachable moments where we're able to insert knowledge and wisdom that we've learned through the years and that we've learned through scriptures.
Yeah, amen. I strongly believe that, you know, what we're really seeing with all this, it's really a breakdown of family, you know. To break the church, you break the family, you know, to break the body of Messiah. Because, you know, I mean, even our relationship with Messiah is we're going to be married to him. We're his bride. I mean, that whole makeup system is based on family. And this is a destruction of family in general.
Yes, it is. It's a destruction of the family. And when we look at a culture that has immersed and embraced the folks having sex reassignment surgery, it is rebellion against their creator. And so, you know, that alone just says we're breaking down the family. We're breaking down everybody in that family. The grief, the compound grief that goes on for the family members when they've been asked to forget the identity of the person they've loved all these years to all of a sudden to accept a new son or a new daughter is absolutely heart-wrenching for the parents to go through. The confusion that it brings to the children, the grandparents, and the mourning process that they go through, and it's a loss. And the individual has lost their identity as God had created them as well. So it's just, to me, it was really Satan's, he had such a wondrous blueprint plan of how to destroy God's creation and God's family.
Yeah, amen. Absolutely. I believe it is that, you know, it's inevitable. I mean, in the time that we're at, we clearly, if we read the Bible, we can see that in the time before Messiah's return, and of course, I don't know the day, the hour, this week, this month, but we are supposed to recognize the season and the time that we're in. And, you know, with the children, it talks about children being rebellious. It talks about people being truth breakers, just, you know, the whole society as a whole, being wrong, being against God the Father. And so the best thing that we can do is try to, you know, number one, A, keep our families together. But, you know, we need to, the Word of God, we've got to get it in our children, and we've got to keep getting it in ourselves.
Yes. And to keep praying, you know, praying for our children, praying for our families, praying for those that are lost in this type of confusion, praying that they see the truth, that they see through the lies, the deception that they have come to believe.
Well, I know, you know, our Father can change anything, you know, and he sent, you know, Yeshua, his son came here, and because of his son, we have a connection to that Father, and we have direct access through the son to him. Pray. He can change and do anything. And people would so often get frustrated because we live in a right now society. Right now, well, I prayed for it and he didn't answer me. You know, you need to wait on the Father, and you need to continue in prayer. But you got to realize his timing and his way of answering is different than what you want with this instant society that we live in. back to you. You've got about, I'll tell you, you have about 3 minutes, so you bring forward whatever you want to the last couple minutes.
You know, I just want to say this is a, it is a quick world that we live in. We want to go to McDonald's and we want a number one, fix it all, Lord. For number two, I'll give you half control and I want the other control. We just need to give God control of our lives and to seek Him. And that is where true peace will be found.
Yeah, amen. He's the only one that can give us peace. And believe me, it's a release. I know, you know, I was a sinner in the world. You know, I've been out of the world about 26 years before that. I was, you know, one of the worst people walking around. But He saved me from all that. He changed me. By Him, my, and then He gave me a family afterwards. I didn't get my family until after I changed. But a miracle. And He'll do it. You just have to have the faith to believe it. And He can help these people. Absolutely. But you have to have faith in asking to draw them to Him, because nobody comes to the Father unless He draws them. So, amen. Understanding gender confusion. So, how long has the book been out, real quick?
It has been out for about 8 months, I believe.
8 months.
And I'm writing a new one. So, God is going to
really?
More
What's
of his
the
humor.
New one? What's the new one? There
well,
you go.
I don't
What's
know the title
new?
Yet, but I will be addressing, from a biblical standpoint, the situations that families face and the decisions that they have to make. So it's probably the toughest one that I've written this far.
Yeah, amen. You know, I don't even want to say it out loud, but the Father has been putting it on my heart to write a book, and I've just been trying to put it off, but I'm at that point where I can't do it any longer. Maybe when you get the new book out, you come back on and talk to us about it. How about it?
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Well, give them your website one more time, and then I'll say goodbye to you, dear.
It's helpforfamilies.com. That's for the number four, helpforfamilies.com.
Amen. And folks, wherever you, if you, I know you're listening to it, a lot of or you are listening to this live right now, but if you get it in a podcast, wherever the podcast is at, there will be a link to our website. Well, goodbye, Nadine, and thanks for being on with me. Goodbye and shalom to you.
Thank you so much. God bless.
All right. You be blessed. Bye-bye. Well, folks, we're in a crazy mixed-up world, and, you know, you should get her book. You know, not everybody, I mean, this woman... is to me is a patriot, is, you know, a real Christian in the sense that, you know, she's willing to stand up. Right now, you realize how hard it is to have that kind of a ministry right now. But that ministry, guess what? That should be with each and every one of you. Just because you, well, I got a buddy that's a homosexual or whatever. Well, you know, when was the last time that you shared with him the Lord Yeshua and told him that? Guess what? If you don't change, you're going to burn. And that's the truth. We have to be truthful. We have to be truthful out of love and with love. Yeah, I like she says, you know, you need to find a counselor, somebody in the Lord to do it. But you need to love these people, but not love them to the point to where they think it's okay. That's nothing changes. You have to let them know that there's a consequence for their action. But as far, you know, women changing into men and men changing into women, pray for them, try to seek counseling, but you are supposed to be in the Word enough yourself that you can give them counsel. Keep your children and your family in the Word. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church, but you must remember that there is really only one God. He is your Father, and He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. And He gave His life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through Him, and only through Him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. It's a new month. We need to get things stocked up and paid. Just pray about it. And radio airtime, pray about that too, because we are a real live radio program, and we're not just a podcast. Even those cost, but airtime costs more. So pray about supporting airtime. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to Messiah's Branch.